Amen. Praise the Lord. It's beautiful to get together and worship, even if it's just online. We have a great time. I know it's a little different preaching to an empty church, looking at the video, but it's great to be together online, and what a time it is when we can fellowship. I know my doctor phoned me because I go to the gym and exercise, and being a diabetic and high blood pressure, she said, you better get out there and walk. So I've been out walking every day, going for a 2 to 4 kilometer walk. And as I walk, it's amazing how many people I get to wave to and chat with on the walk. Because I think when you're separated like this, there is a yearning to be together and a yearning to fellowship. And it's great to be able to fellowship online. I just praise the Lord for this privilege where we can come together. You know, I remember growing up, and we didn't have any of the electronic games and the iPods that the kids have today. I know my grandkids love the iPods, and we wouldn't be able to play with any of them because they weren't there. But you know, we had all kinds of games that we played outside. We were outside playing all different kinds of games. We played hide and seek. We played auntie, eye over. We played kick the can, cano, pom pom, pull away, and many other games that kept us outside and enjoying the fresh air. I remember when supper was ready, my mother would come and she'd holler out, George, it's supper time, come on home. And we would all the kids would go home. And last night, I was, as I was studying my message, I was listening to Jim Reeves on the YouTube singing, come home, it's supper time. And then I saw that Walter Brennan sang that song, so I listened to him. What a awesome singer he is. I mean, it was a unique presentation. And George Jantz with the Cathedrals, he sang it as well. I love that song. Come home, it's supper time. I have great memories of my mom calling us to come home for supper. You know, there's all kinds of calls for you. Some are good and some are bad. But the greatest call is the call of the Lord. In this time of isolation during this pandemic, I would like you to listen to the call of the Lord. Listen, because God is calling us. Even in this time when there's so many things that are going wrong and you're isolated and you're feeling depressed, God is calling you. He says in the scripture, come to me, all you who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Jesus Christ is calling you. I know he's calling all people to come to him. The first aspect of the call of God is to come to me. Jesus says, because Jesus has salvation to offer you. The Pharisees, they tried to make the people follow Moses and traditions with good works to be right with God. But true salvation is found only in the person of Jesus Christ, not in your good works. Jesus said in John 14, 6, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but through me. To come to him means to trust him. During this pandemic, many are lonely and out of work. It's depressing. This invitation is open to all who are exhausted and burdened down. It's exactly how the people felt under the yoke of the Pharisaical legalism. You know, Matthew 23, verse 4 says, they tie up heavy burdens and lay them on men's shoulders, but they themselves are unwilling to move them. with so much as a finger. The Apostle Peter said, "Now therefore, why do you put God to the test by placing upon the neck of the disciples a yoke, which neither our fathers nor we have been able to bear? To preach one thing and practice another is only hypocrisy, of which Jesus accused the Pharisees and the Sadducees." You don't ever want to be a hypocrite, where you say something and do the opposite. That's not what God wants us to do. The Father revealed himself to the Son, and the Son reveals himself to the Father, to those who were willing to come to the Son in faith. The marvelous features of this invitation is that out of his overwhelming authority, Jesus encourages those burdened to come to him because he is gentle and humble in heart. You know, the law indeed was a yoke that burdened the Jewish nation, but Jesus Christ has taken that yoke away and given us rest. Galatians 5:1, he says, the Bible says, "It was for freedom that Christ set us free. Therefore, keep standing firm and do not be subject again to a yoke of slavery." What an awesome privilege to hear the call of God, to hear Jesus call you, and to know when you receive him, you're free and you have life and life more abundantly. The law was given to the Jewish nation to protect them from the evils of the Gentile world and prepare them to bring the Messiah into the world. As Galatians 4:4-5 says, "But when the fullness of time came, God sent forth his Son, born of a woman, born under the law, so that he might redeem those who were under the law, that we might receive the adoption as sons." You know, the law cannot purify the sinner's heart. It cannot impart the gift of the Holy Spirit, and nor can it give eternal life. Good works cannot save us. That's not saying good works are not important, but good works will never get you to heaven. It's only Jesus Christ that gets us to heaven. What the law could not do, God did through his own Son. Those who have trusted Christ have the righteousness of God's law in their hearts through the Spirit. So obey him. And I know when you have the Holy Spirit in your heart, that's what your heart's desire is, to obey the Lord, to walk in his way. You know, those who have trusted Christ obey him. Those who have trusted Christ walk in his word. They're not motivated by fear, but by love. For love is fulfilling the law. You know, I love that story of the woman that was caught in adultery. And the Pharisees brought her to Jesus. And it's amazing that she was caught in adultery, but they didn't bring the man. They brought the woman, showing their hypocrisy. But they came to Jesus, and Jesus, they said, "What should we do? She was caught in adultery." And Jesus looked at them, and he knelt down and started to write in the sand. And he said, "You who are without sin, cast the first stone." Profound truth. You who are without sin, cast the first stone. And from the eldest to the youngest, they dropped their stones and they started to leave. And pretty soon she was alone. And Jesus asked her, "Where are those who condemn you?" And she said, "They're gone." And Jesus said, "Neither do I condemn thee. Go and sin no more." What a powerful, powerful truth. Go and sin no more. He gives us rest when we come to him. I know, I really believe that woman who was forgiven, she followed Jesus. She loved the Lord and walked after him and obeyed him because she knew forgiveness. He gives us rest when we come to him. Jesus Christ is calling you. And therefore, the first aspect of the Lord's call is to come to me, That's what he says in this section. Come to me and I will give you rest. Praise the Lord. The second aspect is to take my yoke upon you. The Bible says, take my yoke upon you and learn of me. Praise the Lord. The yoke is put on animals for pulling heavy loads. And it's a metaphor for the discipline of discipleship. To take a yoke in that day meant to become a disciple. When we submit to Christ, we're yoked to him. You know, there's a legend that Jesus, in the carpenter shop in Galilee, made the best yokes of Galilee. Now, it's probably pretty true. It may be a legend, but I think it's probably pretty true because he was a carpenter. And so he made the best yokes. In fact, the yoke was tailor-made to fit each ox. And probably above the sign of Jesus' carpenter shop was the sign, my yokes fit well, because he knew how to make yokes. He was a fantastic carpenter. And the word easy means well-fitting. Well-fitting. He has just the yoke that is tailor-made for our lives and our needs. The burden of doing his will is not a heavy one. Jesus said, Word of God says, for this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments, and his commandments are not burdensome. Everything in creation, except man, obeys God. It's amazing. Bible says in Psalm 141, verse 8, fire and hail, snow and clouds, stormy winds fulfill his word. In the book of Jonah, you see the winds and the waves and even the fish obeying God's command. But the prophet persisted in disobeying. Even a plant and a little worm did what God commanded. But the prophet stubbornly wanted his own way. Disobedience to God's will is a tragedy. But so is reluctant, grudging obedience. God doesn't want you to feel like, I have to obey God today. That's not the will of God. God wants you to be excited as you obey him. It's just like giving. The idea, Paul said in 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 7, he told us, not grudgingly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. But I would say also that God loves a cheerful liver. The idea is let's live for God and be cheerful, be excited. Don't be depressed and discouraged, but give God the glory because you're walking with the Master. What a privilege to know Jesus Christ and to be able to walk and talk with him every day. You know, it's not I have to give my tithes to God, but rather I get to worship God with my giving. It's amazing. I just praise the Lord for how God works in the hearts of people. Even my grandkids, I know when they get money, they love to give 10% to God. I know their heart is, I get to praise God with my giving. And I think that's the way we should all be in living. This joyous word of salvation is in contrast to a legalism that obscures the mercy of God. The burden of religion, that is, man trying to please God in his own strength, is a grievous one. They tie up heavy burdens and they lay them on men's shoulders, but they themselves are unwilling to move them. Unwilling to move them with so much as a finger. It's the way the Pharisees were. The Pharisees and religious teachers always wanted people to do what they wanted, not what God wanted. Love lightens the burdens. Remember Jacob? He had to work 7 years to win the woman that he loved. But the Bible tells us, Genesis 29:20, they seemed unto him a few days for the love that he had for her. Perfecting love produces joyful obedience. Jesus rests as a yoke of wisdom that unites us with Christ. He offers rest, for he is not only the bearer of wisdom of God, but he is that wisdom. Jesus is the wisdom. Such rest is the singleness of relationship with Christ, the rest of knowing his provision as a complete salvation. Discipleship is thereby kept from being a legalistic striving, and instead is a joyful fellowship. Jesus is calling you. First aspect of the Lord's call is to come to me. The second is to come, the aspect of taking the yoke. Take my yoke upon yourself. And the third is learn of me. Bible says, take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. There is such an awesome privilege of walking with God, of hearing him call us to come to him and to take his yoke. And then thirdly, to learn of me. The first two calls represent an encounter as we come and yield to Christ. But this step is a process. Learn of me. You know, I think as long as you're a Christian, you're going to learn of him. You're going to enter into that realm of learning of him. That's why we have church. That's why we get together. That's why we have Bible studies, is to learn about the Lord. And we learn more about him. We find a deep inner peace because we trust him more. I remember when I first got saved back in 1968. And at that time, I worked in the coal mine. And I remember coming home afternoon shift, probably got home about 1 o'clock in the morning. And I would sit up at my desk there with my Bible, and I'd be underlining it. I'd read it many times till 3 o'clock in the morning. I love to read the Bible. And it was like God was talking to me. That's what it is. When you read the word, he is communing with you. He's teaching you, and you're drawing closer to him. And so he invites us to learn of me. Life is simplified and unified around the person of Christ. The dominant characteristic of Christ was his obedience to his Father's will. You know, as you study Jesus, you see that he obeyed his Father. And that's what we should do. And I see that in Christian homes, how the kids obey mom and dad, because they have that Christian attitude. They have Christ in them, and they know they are to obey their father and their mother. And you see that in the life of everyone who comes to Christ. Luke highlights the same idea. And in Luke, it says, Luke 10, he says, at that very time, he rejoiced greatly in the Holy Spirit and said, I praise you, O Father, Lord of heaven and earth, that you have hidden these things from the wise and intelligent and revealed them unto babes or infants. Yes, Father, for this was very well pleasing in your sight. All these things have been handed over to me by my Father, and no one knows who the Son is except the Father, and who the Father is except the Son, and anyone to whom the Son wills to reveal him. I believe right now the Son is wanting to reveal the Father to you. He's calling us to come to him, to take his yoke upon us, and to learn of him. It's a universal invitation. And this passage is one of the most striking claims of his sonship found in the gospel. The Son can reveal the Father. I think this universal call is for everyone to come to the Lord. My yoke is easy and my burden is light. Walk in the Spirit and be led by the Spirit. Verse 25, you have hidden these things from the wise and the intelligent and have revealed them to infants. When you come to Christ, you come to Christ with an open heart. You come to Christ knowing that you surrender all to the Lord. The contrast is between those who are self-sufficient and deem themselves wise and those who are dependent and love to be taught. As we acknowledge our need of the Savior to teach us His ways, we will be led by the Spirit in His will and in His ways. As Galatians chapter 5 states, but I say, walk in the Spirit, and you will not carry out the desires of the flesh. For the flesh sets its desires against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. For these are in opposition to one another, so that you may not do the things that you please. But if you are led by the Spirit, you're not under the law. And then a few verses later, verse 25, he says, if we live by the Spirit, let us also walk by the Spirit. Jesus Christ is calling you today. He's calling you. And this call is one of the simplest of calls, and yet it's one of the most profound. Come to me, all who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. The call of the Lord is the greatest call you will ever receive. And I know today He has His arms open wide and He's calling you. Come to me, all you who are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. The call of the Lord is a universal call. I remember almost 52 years ago, December 24th, 1968, I answered the call of the Lord. And I asked God to forgive me for my sins, and I asked Jesus Christ to come into my heart. You know, I have never regretted responding to the call of the Lord. I walk with the Lord every day, because I know He's there and He guides us and He directs us. In the midst of this pandemic, call on Jesus as He has His arms open for you. He wants you to come to Him and He'll give you rest. And one of the beauties of coming to the Lord and answering His call is at the end of our lives, we'll hear Him say, come home, it's supper time. Come to Jesus. Come to Jesus and walk with Him. Have you answered the call? His arms are open to you to come to Him.